Good morning. Good to see you in God's house this morning. Doesn't everything look beautiful? Amen. That time of year, isn't it? I have a couple of announcements and a few prayer requests. We need to remember Regina Lawson. Her mom passed, Violet, early this morning. And Becky Moran, as you know, that sits over here. We need to pray for Becky. She's in ICU. She's having some kidney failure. And so we need to pray for her, okay, as well. She's in Martinsville, by the way. Sheree is still collecting toys this week only for the children and with children's clothes and coats for those that were flooded in North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Tonight, what is it? Jingle Mingle. I hope to see you there. It looks so pretty. It's like Starry Night down there. It's the Nativity. It's beautiful. Sheree and all those little elves of hers have done wonderful. But it's tonight at 6 p.m. It'll be refreshments and finger foods and stuff of that sort. So if you haven't signed up, please let her know what you're bringing. It starts at 6 p.m. and we always have a wonderful time. It's hard for me to believe that we're kicking off the Christmas season already, but we are. Thanksgiving came a little later, and so it goes. The Divas meeting will be this Saturday, December 7th at 10 in the Fellowship Hall as well. Breakfast will be served. It's going to be a wonderful time. Please bring a wrapped gift, $5, no more than 10 in value, and we'll be exchanging that. That'll be fun. Okay, Friday, December the 20th from 6 to 8, those that like to sing and go caroling, we're meeting again at Festival of Lights at the DeHart Park, and we'll be doing that. Children's program, of course, as you know, Sunday, December 22nd, 10:30. It's called The Journey. So if you will, stand with me, and we're going to open up with a Christmas carol this morning. To get you in the mood. Joy to the world. Everybody sing. Everybody's the choir this morning.
Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven. Heaven and nature sing.
Ready?
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders.
Sounded great. Amen. Amen. If that doesn't put you in the Christmas spirit with all these beautiful decorations, I don't know what will. Well, let's worship the Lord as you just have done, as Alan leads us into God's presence. Amen.
Time for celebration this morning. Amen. He shames every eye. Without rival, he goes by the name of Jehovah, Jehovah. He speaks into nothing, and darkness goes running. There's no other God like Jehovah, Jehovah. His arm never tires. His eyes are like fire. There's no other God like Jehovah. Lordship over this house today. We bless you, oh God. That's why we're here, Lord, to lift up your name, to glorify your name, Jesus. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles, yeah. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet your need, yeah. Jehovah Rapha, heal your body. Jehovah Shalom, be your peace, yeah. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet your need. Us with every good thing, every good benefit. Thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue and your provision, oh God. You are so good. You are so good. Bless you. Thank you. The splendor of the King. Beginning and the end.
beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our
your greatness this morning, oh God. You are great. You are great. Bless you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Bless you. Is the unfailing one.
So this is my story.
bless you, Lord, right now. We take this time right now to lift up your name, Jesus. We take this time to declare your lordship. Oh, you are so good, Lord. You are so good. We celebrate your name, Jesus, today. We celebrate you, oh God. Oh, there's none like you, oh Lord. There is none like you, oh Lord.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul. Oh,
don't you get shy on me.
Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord, yeah. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs.
Get up and praise the Lord,
yeah. We praise your name. Yeah, we praise you. We adore you. We uplift your name.
be uplifted today. Be uplifted today. In the Lord's presence. Be uplifted. Oh, be uplifted, oh God. Let that healing river flow today, oh God. Your healing river to those that need it, oh God. We pronounce them healed. We pronounce the situation changed.
Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know,
right now, says the Spirit of God, I am preparing you as my bride. I'm preparing you to come close to me. I am preparing you, and I say, come out of the world, come out of her, come to me. I am yours and you are mine. I purchased you. You are my redeemed ones. And I called you closer, says the Lord. I called you closer, closer, says the Lord, in your walk, in your walk, in your walk with me. For I desire to know you more. I desire that you know me, says the Lord. For I am preparing your heart. I'm preparing you for the days that are ahead. For I say, oh, except the days be shortened, the elect would be able to be deceived. For there's coming a darkness, says the Spirit of God, that you will have to know me to know the truth. That you will have to be close to me to know the difference between the false light and the real light. That you'll have to be near me, says the Lord, that you will be able to discern the good from the evil. So draw close. Let your heart draw near. The things that you think are important, says the Lord, they are not as important as you think. For I say it's time to call your family into the ark. It's time to call your family into my presence. It is time to rise up, says the Lord, and be my bride. For I say in this hour, I am pouring out my spirit upon you in a measure that you have never experienced before. But you'll have to walk the holy walk. And you will have to live the holy life. And you will have to know me, says the Lord. Oh, so that you can see this darkness eradicated and see those that are lost brought into the kingdom. So draw near, 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 says the Lord.
We could take that and meditate on it the rest of the day and say we've had church.
Amen. You know,
amen.
Right now, while we're worshiping the Lord, listen.
Yes, yes.
As, you know, you become what you behold.
You do.
You become what you behold. We're living in such a serious time. I mean, and you hear this all the time from us about how the enemy is just seducing so many people into darkness. But believers that are being seduced and pulled away. Listen, I can tell you right now, you need to dig in as deep as you can get into the presence of God. Because in his presence, the enemy flees. In his presence, those mountains melt like wax. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And in his presence and in his presence alone are you going to be able to survive what's coming. That's why the scripture says, forsake not the assembling together as the manner of some is. See, some people's manner has become, I can just treat lightly the house of God. But God said, so much the more as you see the day approaching, you should be present in the house of God. Amen. I mean, you can tell by the times. And what did the Lord say? Draw near. Draw near. Draw near. Amen.
You know, I just, I can't help but get away from it. Tanya, if you'll take those banners and just lay them out on the floor. Teresa, if you'll get those banners right there and just lay them on the floor. And I just want Alan to sing that again. I mean, I'm not worried. Look, I'm not worried about a sermon. We're not worried about, hey, we're having a sermon right now. But for those of you that want to, it's about making him feel welcome, making him feel worthy. And it's going on in eternity right now. I want to be a part of the kingdom. How about you? And if anybody feels compelled and you want to, please come get a banner. Let's just don't let the kids do it. The kids are always doing it. They get it. Adults, come on. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. It's okay. Hey, we'll cut live stream off if you're that embarrassed. I mean, come on, guys. This is for Jesus. I'm not embarrassed. Well, there they are. I want Alan to sing again. And there the banners are. If you want to come worship with the banner, pick up one. Just wave it a little bit. You don't have to know what you're doing. You don't have to know interpretive dance to be able to wave a flag. Come on down here and grab one, folks. Let's give God some worship today. Amen. I appreciate Merrill stepping out this morning. Breaking it. Break it. That breaker anointing. We need it in Jesus' name.
So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah.
for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
To God, glory to God, glory to God. Yes, that was beautiful. Amen. Oh Lord, see us down here. Amen. This dot in Patrick County, see us, and I know you do. You know, I'm thinking about the Christmas season. I was thinking about how when those wise men came and they were looking for the king of the Jews, and they came to Herod, and it really upset Herod because he was trying to keep these Jews in line. He was trying to be the king of all. He was trying to be the king of the Jews himself. And he was an older man and sick. And when they came and said, "We're seeking, where's the king of the Jews?" He went, "What do you mean? I'm the king of the Jews." Or it really riled him up. And then he began to kill and to search all the little boys and start killing them. You know, that spirit is still in the land today, that old spirit, that ugly spirit. But you know what? We have read the book. We know exactly who the conqueror is. We know how it ends. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. That's why you see so much anti-Semitism even today. Oh, I was just thinking about that during this Christmas season. Wow. Thank you for worshiping him. Thank you for worshiping my Savior, your Savior, our King. Amen. Our King of the Jews and King of the Gentiles. Thank God he's our King. Lord, I thank you for these ushers as they come, and we worship you through the tithe and through the offering, this holy moment. I thank you for this worship we have given you today. And Father God, help us just to continue in this atmosphere of worship, all through giving, all through listening to the word. even tonight as we fellowship. Let it continue and rest on us, rest on us. In Jesus' name, receive the offering. Amen.
Jesus. All right, let's stand together again. How about that? Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. Trust you had a magnificent and great Thanksgiving. Amen, that you enjoyed it. Amen. Somebody say, he is good. My goodness. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore or greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Father, thank you for your word. We ask you to come and touch our hearts and minds. Holy Spirit, that you'll have your way today. Lord, we surrender. We thank you for all that you've already done. And Father, thank you for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated today. My goodness, December the 1st. Hard to believe, isn't it? Wow. That in just 24 more days, Christmas will be here. But how many knows Christmas is 365 days a year? Amen. Amen. I love this, especially in verse number 14. To men toward whom God has goodwill. Did you hear that? To men toward whom God has goodwill. Favor. Everybody say favor. Favor. Do you have favor this morning? I have favor. Amen. I know people pray for favor and ask for favor, but you have favor. You're blessed. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Everybody lay your hands on yourself and say, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. And so this story that we know so well, the shepherds are out in the field, and this particular field is important because it is not just any field. It is called the shepherd's field. And the particular task of the shepherds is to protect and to guard the lambs that would be used in the temple sacrifice. And it's a very serious job that was assigned to them. They were obligated, listen, to raise sheep who would be without spot, be without blemish, without disease or any broken bones. And that's quite a task, especially when you have a herd of sheep to take care of them. The sheep were inspected daily. They were protected by them and they were guarded very well.
But these lambs would be presented as a spotless sacrifice that were without spot and blemish in the temple to be used. And so that's important, because if you understand the meaning of that, especially for us as believers, it gives meaning to Jesus, who is called the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, who would be offered as that final lamb for you and me without spot and without blemish. So the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who would offer himself once and for all for the sins of the people. And verse 9 says this, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid," or greatly fearful. So when the angel of the Lord came upon them, and I think it would be the same for you and I today, the Bible says that it was a sudden surprise. How many have ever been suddenly surprised by the presence of the Lord, or by something that he has shown you, or something that he did in your life? But this was such a spectacular thing that took place, that when the angel comes, it takes them by a sudden surprise. And the Greek gives the picture of such glory appearing to them and brightening up the sky that it catches them off guard. And so the angel's message to them was this, and I love it, "Fear not." Look at somebody say, "Fear not." It's as if God is saying to them, "Hey, you don't have nothing to worry about. I'm getting ready to share something with you that's going to cause your whole life to change. I'm going to open your eyes to something and carry you into an event that's going to be earth-changing, earth-shaking." And I love this. So the angel's message was, "Fear not." In times of great distress, God's message to his people is always, "Fear not." How many understand today that you do not have to fear the times? In fact, you should not fear the times. Nothing that you hear, nothing that you see. The angel says to them, "Fear not." So I'm glad this morning that even when it is the darkness, God sends the brightest light. God sends the brightest light. His glorious presence always lights the night. Man, I love this. Man, can you imagine? I mean, I read that story every year, and every time I read it, I just am marveled by it. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you and to all people," everybody say everybody, "news from heaven." Wow. I believe you're going to get some news from heaven this morning. I really do. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This word Savior, Sotor, a deliverer, a rescue, a healer, a redeemer. So the angel was telling them the mission and the purpose of this babe that was being born. Jesus was born for the greatest and most dramatic battle that would ever take place in human history for the soul of man. And so since the fall of man, I want you to go with me this morning just for a little bit, and let's walk through this thing together. Since the fall of man, death had ruled. Everybody say death had ruled. Since Adam, death had ruled. Satan had had dominion over man because Adam had forfeited it to him in the fall. The dramatic picture of good and evil, of light and darkness, are seen throughout the scripture when you read it, because God is wanting to portray to man. He wants him to understand what darkness is light and what light is like. I think even right now, this morning, that we need to understand what darkness is light like and what light is like. So starting in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." Did you get that? I like that. "Let there be light," and there was light. God's creation was with order. God never creates anything void or formless. God always creates things with an order. Everybody say order, order, order. And so when we look at this in Genesis, God is giving us a story of redemption already. He said the earth is without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. And God says, let there be light. God creates things with order. So until we come to Genesis chapter number 3, we begin to understand something. The serpent shows up. Everybody say that snake. The devil. The serpent shows up. He enters the picture. And what does he do? He deceives Eve. And she eats the forbidden fruit, which Adam eats as well. And immediately, they're in darkness. Wow. Their eyes are opened. You think about when a tiny baby is born. That baby has no discernment between good and evil. It doesn't know darkness. It doesn't know anything bad. It grows up into that. But here Eve and Adam are in the garden, and they know no darkness, and they know no evil. And then all of a sudden, as they eat this fruit, their eyes are open, and they see the darkness, and they know the evil. Instantly, they are plummeted into this. And so their eyes are open to know good from evil, and they are instantly separated or banished, or let's say from the presence of God. I don't think that they fully understood what was getting ready to happen to them, because all of a sudden they know that they're naked and they're in the garden. And God always comes down in the cool of the day. Can you imagine this, that Father God just comes down and carries on a conversation to them and talks to them because they are his son and they are his daughter? And he speaks to them, and then all of a sudden now they're hiding because they are afraid. What did the angel say? Fear not. Now they are afraid in the garden. They're full of fear and they're hiding because they see that they're naked. They've never seen this before. Isn't it amazing what sin does when you begin to partake of it? It begins to take you deeper and you crave more of it because of the flesh, and you want to see more and you want to touch more and you want to get involved in it. But now they're torn because they know that God is going to be coming down. They don't know when. And so they hide themselves because they say, something's different. Something's happened. I really don't know everything that's going on here, but I understand that I'm naked. And so God comes down, and they're hiding. And God does what? Adam. Adam, where are you? Well, we're hiding over here. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. Who told you that you were naked? I want to ask you a question. Who told you to be afraid? Who told you to fear? Who told that you were naked? Who told you that you had shame? Somebody say, sin did. The devil did. See, that's what happened when he enters the picture. I want you to get this now. And so their eyes were open to know the difference between good and evil. And so God clothes them, and we know this, with animal skins, and he's an innocent animal has to die. And the Bible says that they were separated from God, but not without a promise. This is the promise. But I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. God is pronouncing judgment upon the serpent. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So can you imagine being banished from the presence of God and separated from his life and being stripped of your dominion? This all happens just suddenly in their life. It's like they went from here to there. From here to there. Now I want you to get this. This is important in where we're going. So they're banished from the presence of God. They're separated from his life. They've been stripped of their dominion, their life, and their blessing. They're thrown into a world where Satan is the god of. There's death, there's pain, there's suffering, there's murder, there's poverty, there's fear, there's sickness, and there's disease. That's all that ever comes out of Satan's domain. And my friend, if you understand who you are when you're a sinner, you're right there with that stuff. Somebody say, yes, I am. Family members have been murdered and are being murdered now. Nations are destroying one another. And the only hope that they have and the people have is that one day that promised seed is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. God's Messiah, God's deliverer. Think about this. 4,000 years of unprecedented human suffering, pain, and death. And then suddenly we have this announcement that shows up in Luke chapter 2 of angels and of light and of glory. My God. See, when Deborah was talking this morning about Herod, you see some of the darkness that's there. I mean, when they come after your child and they kill it because it's a male, because they don't want any kid to be a king. When you're living in that kind of darkness and oppression that's in the world, and it's been going on for 4,000 years, and you've been expecting, I'm believing God. I mean, it's one thing to pray one time and to pray 30 years of your life to believe God for something to happen great, and you never see it, but you still believe it. And then 1,000 years go by, and another 1,000 years go by, and another 1,000 years go by, and you're still believing God. And you look back through all the annals of history and you know about the great deliverance of Egypt. And you know how that God has delivered your nation time and time again. And you know what the prophets have said and what the poets have said. And you understand that he is going to come. You've seen God's miraculous hand move time and time again. But still and yet, it seems just about the time that you get to a certain place is the apex. You're expecting God to show up and you're expecting that Messiah to appear, because many times in Scripture they thought that they had finally had the Messiah to show up, but it was just a disappointment. And so here they are. This darkness continues. Sickness and disease and oppression and demonic possession, poverty, all the things that go along with this darkness. And suddenly the angel shows up. Somebody say, the angel shows up. God's messenger shows up. And I like this, because in that dark midnight sky, he splits that thing wide open and it lights up better than this house is lit this morning, with a brilliance like they've never seen before. And this angel comes to them and says, fear not, because I'm bringing to you good news from heaven. For unto you is born today, this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He said, your long-awaited Messiah has come. The reign of death is going to be over. All this oppression, all this poverty, all the disease, all the hell that you've been going through for all these years, there's going to be someone that steps between it and you. And he's going to do something about it. Man, I love this. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See, this angel is specific because he is giving the title of Jesus. He said, I want you to understand who he's going to be like, what he's going to do. You understand the wording that I'm giving to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign. And I love this. You will find a babe. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This is what you look for. You ever played the game Clue? You had to search for the stuff. Amen. You ever played hide and go seek? This is God telling them, said, he's here, but you're going to have to find him. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. See, the purpose and the power and the assignment of Jesus are found right here in this scripture. The child is the Savior. Somebody say, he's the Savior. He's the deliverer. He's the rescue. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the rapture taking place. But more than that, I'm looking forward to be able to come back after I've been in heaven for 7 years with Jesus, to come back and him rectify everything that's taken place upon this earth and put the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet where they belong, and to take Satan and bind him at the end of the 1,000 years and cast him into the lake of fire. I'm looking forward to that. Because I know as surely as 4,000 years of pain and suffering upon the human race came until Jesus was born and he put that line of demarcation there, I understand, devil, there's coming a time that you are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. This seed has already crushed your head, but you're getting ready to burn throughout all eternity. Somebody say glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. So he is God's Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. The anointed one. And so this long-awaited one who would be anointed to set men free from the yoke of bondage and sin and death, he is the Lord. He is the Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be delivered, rescued. This word Lord is the word Kyrios. It means absolute Lord. But listen to me. The letter K in the Greek is capitalized, which gives it an even greater meaning, because what he's really saying here, it means that he is the one of the highest authority. The Lord Jesus is the one with the highest authority of all creation. All creation knows who he is. Say, our Heavenly Father, from the onset of human history, doesn't want us to just see a baby. All right? Let's back up a little bit. Now, here these shepherds are. They know that they've just been told by an angel, visited from heaven. I mean, my God, what would you do if you'd just been visited by an angel and God said, this is the sign that I'm telling you the truth. You shall find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So they leave the shepherd's field and they go to Bethlehem to see this thing, which has been shown to them. And so all they know is this, is that we're looking for a baby. They understand that their job is raising these lambs to be without spot and without blemish. They know that the Messiah has been called the Lamb of God that's slain from the foundation of the world. So as they enter into the town of Bethlehem and they're searching for Jesus, and the Bible says there's no room in the inn for him, so they had to find a place for him to stay, and they found the stable. Remember that in the Bible? They found the stable. And what did they do with Jesus? They put him in an animal's feeding trough. And they take him and they wrap him with the same rags or wraps that they wrap those little lambs' legs with. Those shepherds knew full well, said, man, we got to wrap these lambs' legs because they got to be without blemish. They can't have any scars on them. They can't have any broken bones. They have to be fully protected. And so the angels knew all about these sacrificial lambs that they were raising for the temple to be used. And so now, see, they've been told by the angel, you shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, those same rags that you use to wrap those lamb's legs with. You're going to find that baby there in Bethlehem, in that animal trough, in a manger, wrapped in the same rags. And the Bible said that they went and they searched. I don't know about you, but they were turning over every rock. They were looking in every stable. And they finally found where Jesus was. And how did they recognize him? Because listen to me, I do not believe that Jesus was the only baby born that night. Because the angel said, you shall find a babe. And so they went and they finally found him. How did they recognize him? Because they saw him just like the angel said. And can you imagine when they see that? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that this leaps out to them, because I believe that God is opening their understanding. Said, this is what you've been doing all along, but now you're seeing the Lamb of God that shall take away the sin of the world. Somebody say, praise God. Amen. Amen. And so as they enter in and they see this, it's amazing. everything that they just encountered through angels, angelic activity, that visitation from heaven, and now they see the Messiah laying there. See, Jesus' birth, everybody say Jesus' birth, did something powerful. It was the birth of man's deliverer, but it was the birth of Satan's destroyer. It was the birth of man's peace, but it was the birth of Satan's greatest fear. It was the birth of man's righteousness, but it was the destruction of death's hold. It was the birth of man's prosperity and the destruction of poverty. It was the birth of man's redemption. It was the birth of the devil's everlasting destruction. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this cause or purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And then in John 3:17, listen to this. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it. If he had meant that, he'd have told those shepherds when the angel visited, "Man, you need to get really fearful because God has come." But what was his message? Fear not. Somebody say, fear not. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then in Matthew 4:16-17, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Is this not Genesis? And to them that sat in the region of the shadow of death, to them has this light shined. From that time forth, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, change your mind, change your direction. You are going in, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I love that. I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you carrying today that you need to bring to Jesus? What are you carrying? What pain, what suffering, what sickness, what poverty, what disease, what yoke, what burden is plaguing your life right now that you need to bring to Jesus? And I'm talking to born-again believers. I'm talking to sinners. If you're here this morning, if you never made Jesus your Lord, if you've not followed on to know him as a disciple. See, the Bible says in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. He will never permit the feet of the righteous to be moved. So I ask you the question, what are you carrying today? What are you carrying today that you need to bring to Jesus? Mark 11:28, Jesus says these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, this is God speaking. This is God talking. This is the revelation of who Jesus is right here. Right here. This tiny baby that was born for us. Man under that dominion of the devil. And a lot of people are still under that dominion today, and that dominion hasn't been broken for them. Listen to me. How many times do we hear people say from the Bible to us today, how many times do we hear them cry out to Jesus? What do we hear them saying? What do we hear that they cried out for? He delivered them and he healed them. Get this. Satan's plan to destroy through the deceitfulness of sin is working today in people's lives. God help me right here. Because he's blinding people's minds to not see who God has created them to be. Amen. So those people in the scripture who came to Jesus were desperate for change. What are you desperate for? What are you desperate for? The people that came to him, the lepers that were cleansed, they were desperate. They knew, if I don't get something from Jesus, I'm going to die. The blind men that came to Jesus, they were desperate. They said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. The parents of desperate children that were broken and demonically controlled, they needed a breakthrough. The rich who had it all materially, but were broke and poverty spiritually. You could say that Jesus was born for such a time as this. How about me saying it this way? Jesus was born into a perfect storm. He was born into a perfect storm. I love this. My God. So this morning, what are you carrying that you need to get rid of? What burden are you bearing that you need to get rid of? What pain and suffering in your life are you carrying that you need to give to Jesus? See, this is the key right here. Because this is what the scripture is telling us. He said, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden. Cast your burden upon me, I'll sustain you. I want to take this off of you. What misery and pain and heartache and suffering are you going through? Bring it to me. I'm the only one that can do anything about it. Will you do it? Somebody say, will you do it? Will you do it? So Jesus was born into the perfect storm. You know why he was? So that he could calm it. See, it wasn't just about his storm, it was about my storm. And it's about your storm. He was born into my perfect storm. And I need him today to come and calm my storms in life. I need him to come and turn things around and change things on my behalf. I don't know about you, but I need that Savior working in my life. I need him to come. You know, my goodness, you look at all the different problems that we have today. I have to say that Jesus was born for the perfect storm so that he could calm it, because we are living in a time where people are so messed up and distraught and full of fear and in such bondage that when I see them, I'm saying, how in the world are these people going to be set free? God, how are they going to be delivered? They're so messed up and demented in their thinking. God, they're not even thinking straight. How can their eyes be open? But when I understand this story right here, it starts off in Genesis, and then when Jesus is born, because of that darkness that's upon humanity, I begin to understand. Listen, I can't do anything about it, but I represent one this morning that can. He can get in the middle of your storm that he was born to calm, and he can do something about it. You might be saying this morning, I don't know what to do about this disease that I have in my body. I know somebody who can take care of the disease, is what I'm telling you. I might be a person that might be saying this morning, I've got a problem in my family. My children are in such a condition, I don't know what I'm going to do. All I can tell you is that I know somebody that can take care of that. He is in the perfect storm to calm it. And I can tell you today, the devil would have us to believe. The devil would have us to believe that there's no way out, there's no answer coming. After 4,000 years of human history of pain and suffering, I'm sure that those Jewish people thought the same thing until the night that those angels showed up for those shepherd boys on the hillside and said, your answer and your Redeemer has come, and you're going to find him in that manger wrapped in the swaddling clothes. You're going to find him there, and he's the one that's going to change life for you and everybody else. Somebody say, I need Jesus to come. Say, I need Jesus to come. You see, when you hear that and you think 4,000 years, and they're thinking, there ain't no way that this is going to change. Preacher, you can prophesy to me. You can tell me that God is good. You can tell me that everything is going to be all right. But you don't know what the 4,000 years of pain and suffering and anguish that I've been through, my forefathers have been through, my family's been through, and you don't know the hurt and the pain that I'm involved in right now. I just don't know. Well, I'm going to tell you, I do know. Somebody say, I do know. I do know. Somebody say, he was born. He was born. He was born. All the spectacular things that Jesus did in the Bible, from healing the sick to calming the storms to walking on the water to even raising from the dead on the third day, are simply to let us know that he is the God that does the impossible. He's the God that can turn it around. Listen, he was born for such a time as this. He was born for adversity. He was born into a dark world. He was born into the troubled times. He was born in poverty. He was born in political upheaval. He was born into oppressed times. He was born into a corrupt and evil world. But the difference is, he was born to destroy what he was born into. I don't know about you, but I love that, because I understand right now, he's not a dead hero. He's a risen Savior, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's listening to every prayer that we ever breathe out to him. And you can be guaranteed of this one thing. If there's a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus, and if there's a Zacchaeus that's climbed a tree, and if there's a leper that has turned around to give thanks to God because of the healing, if there's an individual who brings a child to him that's demon possessed and nobody can help him, I can tell you this, Jesus always breaks through to your situation. He always calms the storm. He always comes and turns things around on your behalf. Somebody say hallelujah. You see, when men met Jesus, somebody say when they met Jesus, things changed and they shifted. You see, if you're in the midst of a storm today, I'm telling you, your Christmas has arrived. Your Christmas has arrived. And his name is Jesus. He came to save us from our sin, but he came to save us from what sin does. And I was this past Thursday when we were celebrating Thanksgiving, and I love this. The same thing happened last year, you know, because Deborah was, you know, she says, I'm not going to decorate that much. And then she puts this up, and then she puts that up. She says, I'm finished. And then the next thing, you know, something else is going up. That's all I'm going to put on the tree. And then you come in, there's 500 more things hanging on it. And I'm thinking, I've climbed that ladder so much, I could have climbed Mount Rushmore by now. And so all the nieces and the nephews came in, and they came in the den, and the same thing that happened last year, they came in there, and especially Shelby, she looked at the tree, and you could see her face is like, I'm overwhelmed. It was like such a look came up on her face, because it was like she had that rush that you get when you see something. It's like, my God, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? She was just so caught up in this. Their faces looked like little angels. You know, when they're there and they were gazing at that tree that was decorated. And see, I believe that that is the way that people are when they see Jesus for the first time. Amen. See, you think Christmas is good. You need to look at Christ. I said, you need to look at Christ. If you think Christmas is good, all the tinsel and the decoration and all those things, listen, all the things that we see, if you think that's good, man, you need to see Jesus. Somebody say, yes, I do. See, he's more than just a cross that's hanging on that wall back there. Listen to me. He's more than a photograph. He's more than a painting that people could paint of him hanging on a wooden cross of a little loin with a little napkin around his loins. He's not just a beautifully painted picture of a babe that's in a manger that you can walk up to and say, my God, that looks real. That looks real. See, he's not the beauty that we even behold of all the decorations and the gifts and the millions of lights that we see. I think that they said it's 4 million lights up here in Galax, and I think there's 6 million in Tennessee, and you know, all of that's wonderful and great. And you think about all the great orators that will talk about Jesus and speak of him. But see, these are only things that men can do to try to capture who he really is. He's a whole lot greater than you'll ever be able to explain it. And see, I'm even having a hard time explaining it this morning. And see, it's impossible to do without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Dear God. And so it's like the little faces. It's like when they saw that, it was like, and they smiled and they looked at it and they made noises like, oh. And so it got captivated on their faces. See, Jesus Christ towers above all those things. Yet he is the baby born in the manger. Yet he is the deliverer. He is the one that we decorate for. He's the one that we do all these things for. Amen. So this morning, if you need to be saved, it's time to open your gift. If you need deliverance, it's time to open your gift. If you need a miracle, it's time to open your gift. If you need sight, it's time to open your gift. If you need restoration, it's time to open your gift. If you need rescue, it's time to open your gift. If you need anything from God, it's time to open the gift. Because so many times people come to church, but they never open the gift. I'm telling you, I believe we were ripping off the ribbons and the paper this morning in worship to get to Jesus. Amen. And so today I implore you that you do what? Open up the gift. Your Father in heaven gave the greatest gift that could ever be given to you and I, His Son Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want all my presents opened. Amen. It's like when we were growing up, you know, and you were opening presents under the tree, you opened them all. This is the phrase that everybody likes to hear. Who's going first? Who's going first? Well, you go first. You do this. You know, that doesn't work too good of a kid. Because kids like to dive right in there. And I love that. I believe our Father in heaven wants us to open the gift the same way. He wants you to tear into it. He doesn't want you to take the time to take the scissors and save the paper and roll the ribbon up. He wants you to rip into it and get what's inside. Come on. That's our problems. We want everything. We want to save what's outside instead of getting to the inside. And we need the inside of Jesus. Somebody say amen. So today, it's time to open up the gift. Let's stand together today. Come on up, Jennifer. Thank you, Lord. Open the gift. Open the gift. See, you never know. You never know. Somebody say, what's inside? Everything you ever need. Everything that you'll ever need is inside. Every head bowed. This morning, if you are here and you have drifted away from God, there's nothing out there but heartache and pain and misery and darkness. If you've drifted away, today's the day to return. Today is the day to turn around and make a move toward God. Today is the day to change direction. Today's the day to say, I'm not going another day in the wrong direction. I'm making the decision right now to return to Jesus. So if you've drifted away, this altar calls for you. I want you to open your gift today. I want you to come to Jesus. I want you to come and say, Lord, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of the heartache. I'm tired of the fear. I'm tired of the aggravation. I'm just tired of this stuff. Lord, I need you. I want you to come right now. Bring it to him. Bring it to this altar right now. Bring it to Jesus right now. Meet me at this altar. Bring it to him. Bring it to him. If you're here today and you need a healing in your body, I want you to come right now and open up the present. Let the healing power of God flow into your body. Let him heal you today. Whatever disease, whatever sickness that it might be, I know that Jesus is the healer. I want you to come in Jesus' name. Maybe you're full of despair. Maybe some things are going on in the inside of you. Maybe you have one of those raging storms that are going on right now. And you feel lonely. You feel rejected. You feel hurt. I want you to bring it to Jesus and open the present. Open up that present today. Let him fill you with his peace. Let him fill you with his joy. Let him fill you with his life. Bring it to him right now. Bring it to Jesus right now. Maybe today you're overcome by burdens. Maybe you've been carrying things that are so heavy that you feel like, my God, I can't put one foot in front of the other.